I've had the wonderful opportunity to interview some of the most accomplished and successful Montreal media figures, such as Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, former Habs hockey player George Larac, and pop stars David Usher, Cyril Kumar, and Véronique Tiquet in my work as an entertainment journalist over the years.
We have to move to green energy. We absolutely have. We have to.
Just the idea that we all have the capacity to make a difference in the world, and that's what I was doing.
When I was going to play, whether you watch hockey or not, you're going to know who I am because I'll be doing something.
You have to believe in what you do and don't ever forget that what you do is your playground.
Throughout the difficulties, how do you, you know, stand strong and, you know...
Yoga is to eliminate the misery.
I've also interviewed Canadian rock band Nickelback and world-renowned spiritual master Sri Sri Ravi Shankar, who's changing the world for the better. So I've often been asked by people to do a podcast. So I'm so proud to welcome you to our Montreal's Moments podcast by Zensa Media Incorporated.
That's Montreal's with a Z.
Lots of thought-provoking, humorous conversations about our media industry in North America, with an emphasis on Montreal, one of the best multicultural cities in the world. Interviews with cool artists, public figures that drop by our city, proud local Montreal artists and entrepreneurs, or people who just love our city and have something to say about it. And my colleague Alexandra will be dropping by once in a while to co-host with me. Like, subscribe, and follow our Instagram, Montreal's Moments Podcast. That's Montreal's with a Z. You can follow our Zensa Media, that's Z-E-N-S-A Media, on Facebook and on Instagram as well. And if you like to check out some of our work, drop by our YouTube page, The Zensa Media. That's all one word. Welcome to another episode of Montreal's Moments Podcast. That's Montreal's with a Z. So the weather is fantastic these days. I am so thrilled that spring is finally here. I'm sure all of you must be totally ecstatic as well. We have a beautiful view of the city from our podcast room, and we see the beautiful sunshine outside and a lot of hustle and bustle going on. So it looks like everybody's out and about. So we're so happy that, you know, we get to enjoy the good weather. And we have guests coming up in the month of April and some really great hot topics that we hope you'll be tuning into. So stick around for that. And so we're going to get started shortly on our episode today, where we're going to be talking hot topics in Quebec and topics that are related to the rest of Canada and, of course, across North America.
Thank you.
So we're going to kick off the show with some hot topics. We're going to talk today about a contest of sorts, I guess you could say contest slash grant, that is called Cours Écrire Ton Cours. So that would translate in English would be Run to Write Your Short. So that is a program, I guess you could say. It's a little difficult to categorize it because it's not exactly a grant, but it is a sort of a competition where a bunch of people who write short films get a chance to get some funding if they're selected as a first prize. And then the second prize usually winds up being a smaller cash amount. And then people who were in the finalist get a gift card, as is the most recent edition that they're doing at SODEC. So I wanted to talk about my experience that I've had with this this contest of sorts. So several years ago, I had actually submitted a short film for this contest. And yeah, I wrote a really solid script. Of course, I understand that there's a lot of competition, and I was very keen to see if I was going to have a chance to be in the top three, as they had three scripts that they picked at that time. And if not, to see, you know, what kind of scripts got selected so that I'll know maybe how to modify my project if I need to, or maybe pitch something else next time. But I felt that mine had a really good shot, and it was an English script. So yeah, so I didn't get selected for that one, but I was present when they announced the top three that were selected. This took place at an international film festival that occurs every year. And so they announced it publicly at an event there that I was covering for another publication at the time as a entertainment journalist. And so my colleague Alexandra and I were present there when they announced the films. Yeah, so basically when I heard the top three that were announced, one of them was, you know, interesting. It was a cultural community story. It was a really minority group, but it was interesting. It was a bit witty and, you know, it had some humor to it. So that one I felt was good. The winning one, I was really taken aback at the story that it was. It was a Francophone story, but it was a very disturbing story. And I think the person tried to take something disturbing and make it poetic. I'm not going to repeat what the story was, but it was really, I was really taken. I almost fell off my chair when I heard that that was the one that got the first prize. My colleague Alexandra looked at me flabbergasted and said, "What is wrong with the guest judges that pick this film? It's crazy. Like, why are they promoting this type of story?" And so I didn't know what to say. It was like, wow. So you put a lot of work when you submit films in such contests and everything. And when you know you work hard and you do a good story and you feel it's compelling, it's interesting to people. So it is subjective. That's one thing about screenplays. It's very much like when you do oral presentation in school, or when you write a creative story in an English class or a French class. It's very subjective. And screenwriting, unfortunately, is not like math. It's not like 1 + 1 = 2, and there's no question about it. You give your screenplay to one person, they will determine whether it's good or not based on their criteria, based on their background, based on their life experience. You know, because I don't believe anyone can actually read a screenplay and not put any of their personal viewpoints or have it shape at all their opinion about it. And if anybody tells you that, it's false, because you can't help it. That's just a human experience. You everyone has like a different way of looking at things. So when we saw that that type of film, what they selected was, of course, definitely a melancholy film, which we hear a lot about in these arts organizations get selected for some reason, especially SODEC being, you know, really well known for that, to prioritize those kinds of films. For whatever reason it is, that's not, I think, what the majority of people want to watch, but that's what they give usually grants to. And anyone can look up the films that they've given to and can see in the descriptions, and you can pretty much tell right away, like, you know, what kind of tone the film is going to have. So so we were taken aback for that, number one. So I was wondering who the heck is the guest judges and why would they pick a film like that? And then the third film was selected. It was based on someone from another country who had been living here for a few years. So it was a story that was very particular to them. And that's okay, because we do need to hear those kinds of perspectives and, you know, of newcomers and, you know, how they're fitting in and some experiences that they've had. But just listening to it, we felt that that would only maybe be a small minority of people maybe who would relate to that particular experience, but maybe there was some artistic merit in it. And as I said, people have a right to share their perspectives, and if it was a good screenplay, then that's okay and good for that person. But the one that got the first prize really like took us for a loop. So we didn't apply again for this contest for several years. We thought about applying this year, but because of the systemic racism and the language laws that are, you know, 80-20 that we've talked about a few times on the show already, 80% goes to the Francophone media and artists, and less than 20 goes to Anglophone, multi-ethnic, Indigenous and foreign language projects with subtitles. So, you know, I was a little hesitant to apply as we continue to advocate and lobby with SODEC and the other federal major taxpayer-funded arts grants to be more fair and to be more equal and to give a better representation, because we don't feel it is a good representation of multi-ethnic communities, especially and especially with the tone in the province and in the rest of the country, which is still there, despite we're a multicultural province and a multicultural country of Canada. We still have a lot of these things to work on when it comes to media representation. So I did, however, look into the contest of who was guest judging it, because now they do publish that information. I had not seen it when I had applied several years ago, for whatever reason that may be. Maybe I missed that information. But this year, I did get a chance to look at who the guest judges were, and I also got to see which films were selected. So I think it's notable to point out that the jury that presided over Le Cours Écrire Ton Cours competition were Francophones. Everyone in the jury has a Francophone name, except for one person who is from the Writers Guild of Canada that has an Anglophone name. So when you look at Quebec being a multicultural province, no matter what anybody says, it still is. It's the reality. And Montreal, no matter what anyone says, it is a multicultural city. So, you know, we have to not mess around with the truth, and we should not allow people with their own agendas to try to reframe something and give a different image of than what it really is. So when I look at this jury, we are all paying taxes that are going to funding for the arts and funding for SODEC, which is a taxpayer-funded arts organization. And when I see an entirely Francophone jury, I have a problem with that. Why? We have more than 50 cultural communities living in Quebec. And when you have one of the largest organizations of arts funding in the country, because SODEC gets the largest amount of money in
all of Canada when you compare it to Telefilm and CMF. So that gets the largest for just the province. But Telefilm has less money and CMF has less money for the entire country. So that there's a big gap there. And SODEC getting the maximum money from all the arts organization just for the province should be able to do better. There is no excuse to discriminate. There is no excuse to play language politics when Quebec is one of the biggest supporters of American English content. And Francophones especially, as was mentioned in the National Post about a year and a half ago in an article, that Francophones are very large consumers. In fact, one of the largest consumers of American English content. So why aren't Francophones consuming English content in Quebec? Why do they not want to see more English content made here? Because Montrealers and many producers, including myself, can make just as good programs as Americans can and just as good films as Americans can. But yet we play this divisive game here where, oh no, Anglophones cannot have this, cannot have that, and have to have less, and we all have to support Francophone. Yes, but when we try to do Francophone content, we're also blocked. How many films have you seen made by multi-ethnic whose French language is second or third and was a big box office hit? Or that was a big movie that everyone was talking about? You know, the last time we had a movie that was bilingual content where everybody was interested was Bon Cop, Bad Cop. And you would think that they would want to repeat that formula, because anyone in business, anyone with any common sense who works in the industry wants to be profitable and wants to have a long-term success. When you have a formula that works, you normally would repeat it or at least try to expand off of it or make it a leaping board to get into films that are more like that, that bring people together. But no, we should all ask ourselves that question. Where are the films going that are getting funded? And this government of Mr. Legault has given the maximum arts funding, apparently, as people are saying in the industry, for years and years. Like, people don't remember when was the last time the arts and culture department got this much funding from our tax money. So when I'm contributing to SODEC and you're contributing to SODEC, and we want to make sure that it's a fair and transparent process, and we want to see scripts that are, of course, Francophone stories, of course. And of course, Francophones can be on a jury, but they can't be the only ones there. Where's the Greek community? Where's the Indian community? Where's the Ukrainian community? Where is the Filipino community? Where's the Jamaican community? Where are these people? Where's the Japanese community? Where's the Chinese community? Why aren't there people there, at least one or two on the jury? So no, if they tell me that it's fair and transparent, I wouldn't believe it. Why? Because we don't have people with other perspectives that are on that jury to make a decision that is fair and equitable. When everybody on the jury looks like Mr. Lacombe, arts and culture minister, I don't think that's fair. And I wonder, though, why he allows that. Because optics matter, but also representation matters. And why Quebec keeps throwing the memo out while the rest of the world is rapidly moving fast to include people in the image of the media and also in leadership roles. People are moving up really fast in the States and in other countries in Europe and Asia. And I don't know, folks, like, we're going to totally get left out of this industry. We were once leaders alongside the U.S., but the way things are going, and the more we all keep quiet or people move to Toronto or just keep applying for grants or scared to speak out because they think they're going to get blacklisted, why would you think that having equality and asking for equality would get you blacklisted? If it does, well, then you're not working with the right people. I'm sorry. And especially, like, when we're paying for it as taxpayers, when you tell a private business what to do, which our province loves to do with language and constantly badgering people so that they just fold or they move to Toronto, that happens a lot. I don't think that's fair. I think when you're a private business, you should be able to do what you want. You have to respect certain laws, yes. But when it comes to arts and creativity, rigidity, that's a tough word to say, rigidity doesn't go with arts. And, you know, Sodec has a very rigid attitude towards the arts funding organization that it promotes, the way it promotes, the way it keeps a distance from multicultural communities and Anglophones, the way it says we support diversity. But then when you look at the films that are getting funded and you look at how many times people contact them and then they're stuck with so much French documentation with lingo that we were told we need to go take courses to learn. And that means there's a third level of French that nobody talks about in Quebec, but is very present to keep certain people out of these arts funding organizations or having a fair shot. So we have Quebec French, which is basic on the street French. And then we have our academic French from France that many of us learned in school. I learned French at a very high level, academic level, because I had very strict teachers who were from France and had very high expectations for us to learn really the best quality French that we could. So, you know, our teachers in school, like mine, for example, taught us a very high level academic French with the Becherel and the Larousse. And I was one of the top students in my class and very proud of it, but I worked for it. And so we have that level French that most people know. And then, of course, you have this academic bureaucratic lingo French that I was told that we need to take courses for to learn because it's not easy to understand. And in fact, to be very honest, it just confuses you. It's like it's a bit like talking without actually answering the question. So when you read it, you're just like, okay, well, what does that mean? And then you ask them and then they're like, well, you need to figure it out for yourself. Go to this organization, go to that organization. And you go and you ask those organizations, well, can you explain this and this to me? Because Sodec told me I need to go to your organization. And they just look at you funny and say, well, why would they do that? Why aren't they just answering you the questions themselves? So, you know, there's a ping pong game being played with Anglophones and multi-ethnics. And it's kind of tiresome. I don't know if you guys feel that way, but I certainly do. And I wonder what the arts and culture minister's real agenda is. And I think that he's not being transparent, but he has a responsibility towards multi-ethnics. He has a responsibility towards Anglophones and Indigenous people, as well as the Francophones that he's already heavily supporting in the regions and giving tax money here and there. And I have a list of that, which I'll talk about next time, maybe in another hot topic. But I just want things to be fair. And I just want to be treated equally, and I'm sure many of you want to be treated the same way. Like, subscribe, and follow our Instagram, Montreal's Moments Podcast. That's Montreal's with a Z. You can follow our Zensa Media, that's Z-E-N-S-A Media, on Facebook and on Instagram as well. And if you like to check out some of our work, drop by our YouTube page, The Zensa Media. That's all one word. So we have a show called Fun with French that we did to actually show ethnic people speaking excellent French and to do a bilingual show that promotes academic level French. So it's like a word of the day in each episode that you get to learn, a word that you normally don't use. Even those of us who speak super good French, there'll be words that are a little bit more academic on a higher level that, you know, may not be used in daily life, but are fun words to learn. And I'm so proud of this project. I hope to have my cast and crew on one of the episodes coming up in the next few months, because this show, it started out really small. I saw so much anti-multiculturalism commentary going on in the news. I was fed up and I said, you know what, through art, I'm going to do something to speak out and do something positive to bring people together. To counteract this, because they don't think it's fair what's happening in our province. So I decided to do this show called Fun with French. It's an homage to my former French high school teacher, who was a wonderful teacher, very strict at the time. I was not a huge fan because she made us work so hard. And I spent so many endless hours practicing for my dictées with my, you know, friends in my class. And but I realized I learned a really, really high level of French and I'm very proud of it. And I kept some of the dictées, oddly enough, from my classes in high school. And yeah, and I just went to look for them. I found them and I said to my colleague Alexandra, we're going to do a web series. It's going to be a comedy and we are going to show ethnic people speaking excellent French. The French media doesn't want to show it. We're going to show it. We're not at the table. We're going to tell everybody to move to the side a little bit. And I'm going to bring my own chair and make my own place at that table. And we're going to show the reality of what Montreal really looks like and not what certain people are trying to rebrand it and make it look like. That is a false narrative that they're pulling for their own, you know, agendas. But we want to show a real view of it. And most importantly was to make people feel represented on the big screen. So we've waited years for others to do it. They didn't do it. So we did it ourselves. We started with 3 episodes and it was going to be only 3. But my team, cast and crew and audience members kept telling me, no, please do more. We love it and we were a part of it and we're with you on this. And we think it's important for people to see it. And we share your vision on the cultural diversity needs to be better represented and people need to see themselves to feel supported, but also to have good role models to also strive for success and to strive to use their talents for the good of society. So that's what we did. And now I'm so proud to say we are going to our episode 7 and 8 that we're in pre-production for. And we couldn't have done it without the businesses that have been supporting us, our local M&As that have supported us. We're very grateful. And most importantly, my cast and crew, I'm very grateful for that has made this show a success. And we are filming in Montreal. We filmed in Toronto, in Los Angeles, and in Florida. And our collaborators in the States have just amazed us at how much they're interested to be part of it and how they're supporting it also as viewers. And we've reached so far as the UK and Australia with people asking us when are the next episodes and what is the next word of the day. So I'm so proud of this project and I'm so proud of my cast and crew for sticking with me and believing in this, and we're enjoying working on it. It's a lot of fun and we just hope we can keep getting some support and so we can reach episode 10. That's the goal. But I already have requests for season 2, so yeah, I hope so. As long as we have the support and the financing to do it, to help us, we will continue to bring you some great episodes and new words of the day for you to learn and have a better vocabulary. So we're very proud of our show, and we look forward to working on our next two episodes. So if you'd like to check it out, if you're already following it, amazing. Thank you so much. We greatly appreciate it. And if the show is new to you and you'd love to see what we're up to with it, please drop by our YouTube channel called The Zensa Media. So that's T-H-E Zensa, Z-E-N-S-A Media. All one word, The Zensa Media YouTube channel. And you will find all our episodes there so far. And please share with us your comments. Click like, subscribe, share with your friends, parents. You can share with your kids. You'll both enjoy. We have some great jokes in there. We have some well-known media personalities too in our show, and from American content and Canadian content, people who are successful on social media, a few people who have been on Netflix projects, some people doing commercials. And one guy, even our lead actor, Manny Brar, who's been on a show called Farming for Love. He was one of the bachelors. And he's got a great sense of humor in him and his co-host, Myla, that is Spade the dog, who's a Hollywood celebrity. Also seen on the movie My Spy that made Spade really get noticed in the States. So we're proud to have a really super cool team working on this. And you can check us out on Instagram, Zensa Media. Our videos are there as well. And Facebook, Zensa Media as well. So please do check it out, and we're so happy to have your support. Thank you. So we hope you're enjoying the long Easter weekend, and that you have some fun activities lined up, and the great weather also that we're going to have. So I hope you're enjoying it. And please do check us out on social media. Once again, you can check out our Montreal's Moments podcast that is on Instagram. So Montreal's Moments with a Z. We're on Balado Quebec, Montreal's Moments podcast as well. And you can check out our Fun with Friends show, as we mentioned a little earlier, on our YouTube channel, The Zensa Media. So T-H-E-Z-E-N-S-A Media, all one word. And you can check us out on Facebook, Zensa Media as well. So we'd like to give a little challenge to our Montreal's Moments podcast listeners. This will be in regards to our Fun with French comedy web series, where each episode has an academic French word of the day. We want you to try to guess what this word means that I'm going to share with you, and go to our YouTube channel, The Zensa Media. So T-H-E Zensa, Z-E-N-S-A Media, all one word, and check out some of the episodes of our Fun with French comedy web series, and comment in any of the episodes, tag us Montreal's Moments podcast, and tell us what you think this word means, and try to not look at the dictionary. I hope you're all ready. So the word is chevauchement. That's C-H-E-V-A-U-C-H-E-M-E-N-T. Chevauchement. What could that mean? We're waiting for your answers. If you didn't listen to me and you went and looked at your dictionary, which I know some of you probably did, then you have to go on your favorite episode of our Fun with Friends show on our YouTube channel. And you have to say, Montreal's Moments podcast got me with the word chevauchement. And then we'll read some of the comments that we get on our show in our next episode. And we will reveal what the word chevauchement really means in English. So stay tuned for that. With our podcast updates on Instagram, Montreal's Moments, that's Montreal's with a Z. Facebook, you can find our content on Zensa Media page, and of course on Balado Quebec website, where you can check us out on Montreal's Moments page as well there. ¶¶